It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This time around, guys, we want to pick Daryl's brain just a little bit about more what was going on the practice field today.
Wait, there was a practice today?
I didn't get a chance to see much.
Neither did I.
The one thing I brought up was Deshaun overthrew somebody down the sideline. Rodney McLeod almost picked it off, and people were getting mad at me for bringing that up on the air. So
you and your just negative attitude out here at training camp.
I was like, it was the one play I saw. I can't help that it was the one play I saw.
I probably shouldn't mention that Martin Emerson Jr. picked off Deshaun in practice today,
too.
Did
he really?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't help then. I mean, I said he's throwing at least one pick every day, it seems like. No, Daryl, I think obviously the big thing we got today from Stefanski was that Deshaun is expected to play in that third preseason game,
which I've been saying for two weeks.
Right, we knew that. But after this week, we get the joint practices as well.
Right.
The Vikings are loading in right now, as a matter of fact. They have arrived. They have arrived for joint practices. Do you think, like, How many reps is like enough, you think, to feel comfortable with where Deshaun's at? Because he's historically gotten off to slow starts, and I do think fans want to see as much of him as possible before the season starts.
I kind of feel like he needs at least two offensive series. And I'm not talking like two, three and outs.
He needs
double digits of like play, maybe like 15 plays at least. Because he's not been on the field in a live situation since, November 12th, if I remember correctly, last year.
Early November.
It's been a long, long time. And, look, I understand you got to protect your investment. Don't want to put him in harm's way. Don't want him putting himself
in
harm's way.
He's coming back from an injury already.
Right. I understand all of that. But also I do feel like there's something to be said for just because, like, readapting to the speed of the game. Because, I don't think his arm is an issue coming off this surgery. I think the potential issue could be speed of game and just that comfortability out there, right? And it might take a couple of weeks into the regular season for him to get there. So I don't have a problem if he plays about 15 plays. Now, Stefanski acknowledged, plan right now as we talked is to have him play in that preseason finale, but I feel like he needs reps. And when you're not doing a lot of live reps in your practices, then you got to get him some preseason time on the field.
Yeah, and it's just hard because, like I said, you got to protect the asset. I get that. But in the same breath, like, this has been the story within the last 2 years, right? It's been
availability.
Can he be ready? Is he going to be ready when he comes back? How is he going to prepare? And like I mentioned previously, like, he's historically gotten off to slow starts. And I think we saw that last year. First 2 weeks were kind of a slog. And then that third game, he finally showed something. And then he gets hurt, and it kind of derailed everything. So we're, like, waiting for a legitimate stretch where Deshaun, for, like, 3-4-plus games, is consistently playing at a high level. And I can't do, Daryl, like, the rust thing again. I can't go into a season and be like, well, he's got to shake off the rust. Let's give him time. We just watched a quarterback who's in his late 30s join the team in week 12 after sitting on his couch for 11 weeks.
He was catching passes at a high school field.
Like, he was slinging it around the football field. He didn't seem like he had any rust. So I just can't do that again this year.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. This is all about Deshaun coming out and performing from week one. It has to happen, right? No more excuses, no more rust, no more coming off injury, no more dealing with whatever, right? No, he's got to come out and perform week one. Because guess what? Dak Prescott's going to be ready to perform week one, right?
Yeah.
Although
he might not have his number one receiver, so that's one thing.
And I got to tell you, Jerry Jones, you're doing it right, my man. No hurry.
Don't rush it. It's fine.
Wait till week two. Wait till week two. That's when you can get all that work.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah. No need to rush that. I'd like to see Watson coming out firing from week one. I'd like to see this offense establish a rhythm from week one. No question about that.
With it being the touches of Ken Dorsey in this offense this year, and more 11 personnel is a big point of emphasis with this group and some of the stuff they're going to do. Normally, this regime's only kept 6 wide receivers. Do you think there's room for a 7th potentially, given that? Because they also have the running back room to think about, which has some athletes in, and they can split those guys out. And they have a whole bunch of names there that have a shot to make this roster as well.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Which receiver is worth on the back end of the roster making room for?
It's a good question.
I'm being dead serious. No sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah.
I swear, I'm not. This is shocking. I'm not being a smart aleck for once.
Yeah. Daryl is not a smart ass all the time.
Yeah.
I think the top four seem pretty solidified. We know it's going to be Cooper, Judy, Moore, barring a trade if they decided they really like Cedric Tillman. Then from there, I think they probably are still going to try to invest in David Bell just because he
and then
he's
you got
a pick.
Michael Woods who's in the
and
same
you got
exact
Michael
book.
Woods and that's 6 and then then you got another draft pick in Jamari Thrash who you got to think about
I mean I kind of feel like they're going to have to pick between David Bell and Michael Woods, and then Jamari Thrash is your 6th receiver, because again, which receiver is worthy?
Yeah.
And
that's why I bring up the running back room, because I think the running back room comes into play because they have – I mean, think about the names they have there. Foreman, Hines is going to come back at some point, we know. Bubba Ventrone talks about him as, like, being this great mind and this great asset for the return game. So if he's making the team solely for that, like, that's also a guy you can split out and use in that way. You got Jerome Ford. Nick Chubb might start on the pup list to start the season, but he'll be back at some point. And then you also got Pierre Strong, who's had a really good camp.
Yeah, I'll deal with Nick Chubb whenever it matters, right? Because I'm anticipating he's missing at least the first 4 weeks of the season.
That's the way I'm leaning, too.
There aren't a lot of roster decisions to be made, and the roster decisions to be fought over are the 6th wide receiver, the 3rd running back. They don't need a fullback anymore because Nick Harris is back, so they can just use him.
Yeah.
And 44.
Does that mean for Giovanni Ricci?
Yeah, and 44, Giovanni Ricci's had himself a fantastic camp. I feel like every day that I watch practice, I see him make a play, and I'm like, ooh, there's 44 again.
Which was why I thought was interesting that he was like listed as the 5th tight end on the depth chart, even though I know it's unofficial. We're not reading into it too much. But
I know. And then your tight end room is David Njoku and then question marks from there. Today in practice we saw I saw 3 different left tackles with the one offense.
Oh, really? I didn't get – I know James Hudson. And then who else?
I left my notes inside, but they did a little rotation on that, and they probably should.
I'm sure that'll be a theme of the joint practices too, is getting some different bodies there and seeing what they have.
Well, yeah, I mean, they look, Jack Conklin, it was good to see him at least watching practice. I think that's the first time I've seen him.
He's been out here, yeah. Since OTAs.
I think that's the first time I've seen him in a couple of months. So to see him at least out watching was positive. But I don't know if he's going to be ready week one. Jed Wills, don't know if he's going to be ready week one.
Starting to feel like the answer to that is no, because they haven't even started practicing yet. We're going into week 2 of the preseason.
Well, keep in mind, August the 12th, we still don't play a meaningful football game another 4 to 5 weeks.
That's true.
Like, that's the thing. We still have a long way to go before.
It feels like it's closer than it is. But
it feels like it's an eternity away. it feels like this camp has lasted an eternity. We're only 12 practices in, but it always feels
that's
that
another
way.
Side effect of spending a week in West Virginia.
You get lost
out there.
Listen, I don't hide it. I keep it real with our audience. I love my job, but I always look forward to week one of the regular season. I do. I think
after that game Saturday, everyone's looking forward to week one.
Man, that's 3 hours of my life I'm not getting back. And this Saturday is going to be another 3 hours we're not getting back, because all the action is going to be here on the field.
Yeah, with the joint
practices. It's going to be a controlled environment. And that's why I asked Stefanski today about the going after this preseason thing. I really think that these coaches –
we had some good dueling questions there. I asked the first one. You followed it up, and it was –
You teed me up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We were both kind of going in the same direction with this. Like, is there a chance that we get rid of the preseason
at some point? They need to because it's about being – I mean, the Browns had five guys get hurt, okay? Yeah. One guy broke his ankle, Luke Whipler.
Forced you to make a trade, right?
And I realize that injury is part and parcel to this whole thing. I don't like the preseason model. I love the joint practice model. Have two joint practices down at the stadium 1 week. Go to another city, do joint practices at their stadium another week. Locally televise both of those events so you can do the revenue and the commercials and all that kind of, right? And then you have two gates. Obviously, you don't charge what you would for an NFL game, you know, but at least you can make a little money. They'll sell in some beer and hot dogs and jerseys and things like that, make it a family event type of a thing. And fans get to see more. The coaches get to see more. Yeah. Do a red zone period. Do a two-minute period. Do a goal line defense period. Do a special teams period, right? Do a start at your one-yard line and see what you can do offensively period. Like, there's just so many things I feel like you can get out of that. Then a preseason game, you're at the mercy of the circumstances of the game.
Right.
Right?
And
as far as what you get to work on.
I thought Kevin alluded to that in a big way after the game Saturday when he said, you know, we only got to do kickoff three times. Like, when we kicked it off to them and then two scores.
And here's the funny thing. I'm sitting there up there in the press box thinking, oh, okay, this is exactly what Bubba Ventrone told us. They're just going to vanilla this thing, do touchbacks. And then Kevin comes out after him and says, yeah, no, that wasn't supposed to happen. He was supposed to kick it in the landing zone so we could defend.
Actually practice it.
And practice
for the three times that we got to
kick
it off. Yeah. Daryl, we obviously had the very cryptic post from Amari Cooper on Friday night. I haven't even really touched on this much today because we had so much of the stadium stuff. But any concern that that's going to become an issue? I don't think so because that's just not who Amari Cooper is.
No.
And he didn't look like – he looked like he was pretty engaged Saturday. He looked like he was pretty engaged the other day. I saw him make a couple nice catches.
Yeah, if there's one guy I'm not worried about, it's Amari Cooper. Look, this is just part of – this is the day and age we live, right? Social media and all that. Players make their own news on social media at times, whether they want to or not. But, no, I'm not worried about Amari Cooper. And, look, I understand – I mentioned this on our post-game podcast that we did, Andy Baskin and I. You know, I understand why Amari would have some hurt feelings. He just got told no on a potential contract extension, did not get the raise he was looking for. All he got was his existing deal guaranteed. And then all of a sudden now his name pops up in these trade rumors with San Francisco, which, by the way, that's not how Andrew Berry conducts business. He doesn't leak that type of information. I'm convinced it came from the West Coast.
Same.
The report was Cooper plus a 2 and a 5. And I would have done that deal. I mean, if I'm Andrew Berry, I would have done that deal. I can't argue against it. It's right up Andrew
Berry's
alley.
Well, that's the thing here, too. Like, Berry... You can't be mad at people are saying like they ruined this relationship, but it's like you can't be mad at Andrew Berry for trying to improve the team. Like, this is part of the business.
You have to give up something.
So I'm not mad at them for trying, and that's
it's unfortunate the Cooper's name came out.
Which I'm guessing was because the 49ers were trying to up the ante for Pittsburgh.
Well,
and not whatever,
only that, the 49ers are trying to get something done.
Right.
And look, the 49er problems aren't our problems, but unfortunately they became our problem.
It's not like – you can't be mad at either side, in my opinion. You can't be mad at Berry for trying. You can't be mad at Cooper. And it's up to Berry to sort of now find some common ground and be like, listen, we still – like that's his job, and that's why his job is not something I envy.
Yeah, and Cooper understands it's part of the business.
He talked about that at his first press conference, like – you know, he doesn't like to dabble in that stuff. He didn't really want to hold out because that's not him. Like, he tries to stay out of that stuff. And
that's why I'm not the least bit worried about.
This isn't like Baker Mayfield 2.0 where he's going to get like some notes app trade request.
Well, and we're not going to be sitting here in week three and Cooper's moping around the locker room. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's just let's be level headed about
this.
Cryptic post or no cryptic post.
Yeah, I'm not worried either. I'll circle back to the Cooper stuff here in a little bit with you guys, final hour. But before I let you go, Daryl, I saw today lots of teams are inquiring the Patriots about Matthew Judon. I think the Browns should be in on his only due like $6.5 million this year.
Yeah,
team-friendly contract.
Yeah, but I...
What about Haason Reddick? Did you see that story today?
No, I was a little busy today.
Hassan Reddick, before he's even played it down for the Jets, requesting a trade already.
Yeah, well, I saw the response from the Jets GM.
How they don't do that?
Basically saying,
we don't do that for players that have never played for us. What about Aaron Rodgers?
We're going to just keep finding you as long as the CBA lets us to go ahead and do that. I mean, Judon's what? He's in his early 30s. There's no question. Linebacker is a position in need for the Browns. In fact, the Browns signed a linebacker today to kind of shore that spot up because of the injuries that they've suffered at that position. But here's the thing to keep in mind, too, with this defense. It's not a linebacker-heavy defense or a linebacker-dependent defense. You know, like, it's defensive tackle, defensive end, edge rusher, you know what I mean? Those edge rushers, corners, man-to-man coverage. Like, that's the bread and butter of this defense that they're running. So I like where your head's at. I don't know if investing future capital at that spot for a guy north of 30, I don't know if that fits the guardrails.
I don't think that fits the Browns guardrails either, considering they didn't seem to invest much in linebacker this offseason. They've obviously prioritized other areas. Daryl, appreciate you giving us some time, not only this segment, but you know, for the hour you were here, especially with the Chris Ronayne interview. You've been on top of all that stuff with the stadium, so your insight and perspective and questions were very much appreciated.
Yeah, keep following. I'll keep you updated on the latest edition of the latest chapter in the war of words between these two sides, and you know, we'll see where this whole thing ends up.
You can follow him on X at Browns Chill.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm kidding. Follow him on X at Right or Wrong 923. Daryl, appreciate you, man. And obviously, I'll see you out here this week for the joint practices.
Look forward to it.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get you the Guardians starting lineup. Am I supposed to be excited about the Guardians having to eke out a win yesterday and save their season potentially? Because it seems like a lot of people are, but I still got my doubts. Also, we'll get back to the Amari Cooper conversation in the 6 o'clock hour, and we still got the Pulse to get to. Lots still to come. It's Spencer German with you. Afternoon drive here on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.